Okay, looks like it's 10:01 now, so we will get started. Atif, if you could go ahead and start the recording, please. Good morning. I am Tim Danforth, a tax policy specialist with the Interpretations and Technical Advice Division of the Department of Revenue. I will be the facilitator for this public meeting. It is 10 a.m. on April 27th, 2022. We will now begin the scheduled public meeting for solicitation of comments regarding the proposed language for WAC 458-2018-801 or Rule 18801 titled Medical Substances, Devices, and Supplies for Humans, Drugs Prescribed for Human Use, Medically Prescribed Oxygen, Prosthetic Devices, Mobility Enhancing Equipment, Durable Medical Equipment. Other persons present for this meeting include Atif Aziz in his role as the department's rules coordinator. Atif will also be monitoring our recording equipment this morning as this meeting is being recorded. We do not have parties physically present for this meeting as it is being conducted virtually via Teams. For the record, I'll read off the list of attendees as listed on our Teams virtual meeting. Myself, Tim Danforth, Atif Aziz, Amanda Foley, and Dessa Williams. If I do not mention your name, please identify yourself, who you are representing, and whether you have comments that you would like to make later. If we have any parties on the phone for this meeting, for the record, please identify yourself, who you are representing, and whether you have comments that you would like to make later. This public meeting is being conducted pursuant to the provisions of Chapter 34.05 RCW, the Administrative Procedures Act, Procedure Act. The purpose of this meeting is to solicit comments from the public on possible rulemaking prior to taking action to propose a new rule. This meeting was announced through publication in the State Register as WSR 22-08-105, which was filed with the Code Reviser on April 6th. Copies of this rule are available if you did not receive a copy or would like to have an additional one. We emphasize that the rule draft, as now written, is provided for discussion purposes only. The rule, as proposed, is written in the legislative drafting style. New language is underlined, and language to be deleted is shown by strikeout. We will consider any comments received pertaining to the preliminary rule draft. We appreciate receiving written comments and will evaluate all comments as we proceed with the rulemaking process. You may provide written comments at this meeting. You may also send written comments to the attention of myself at timd@dor.wa.gov no later than May 4th. In this manner, the department can fully consider your comments before proceeding with future rulemaking activities. Before opening the meeting for comments, I will briefly outline the key points in the preliminary rule draft. The department proposes to update Rule 18801 to clarify the following. There's an update to the department's contact information at subsection 304 sub C. There's a clarification that RCW 8208-0286 provides a retail sales tax exemption for human blood, tissue, organs, bodies, or body parts when used for medical research and quality control testing purposes. The rule currently states that the sales tax exemption is for research or quality control testing purposes, which is different than the statute. The statute uses and. This change occurs in subsection 403L on page 37 of the rule draft. The update clarifies the documentation and/or information required for buyers and sellers to substantiate that they are entitled to make purchases or sales exempt from retail sales tax. This includes the option for buyers to provide the seller with an exemption certificate, such as a streamlined sales tax agreement certificate of exemption. Also, a seller may capture the relevant data elements that would otherwise be captured in a completed SUTA exemption certificate, or the seller can otherwise meet the requirements of 8208050 sub 7. These changes occur in several sections throughout the rule. At this time, are there any comments? If you wish to make a comment, we ask that you identify yourself for the record.
Hi, my name is Amanda Foley, and I am not, I'll go ahead and say I'm not super familiar with the changes, but we work with a lot of healthcare organizations in the state of Washington, and you know, work to for them to understand what is taxable and what is exempt. In most other states, they are exempt. So it's been our guidance to not issue sales tax exemption certificates to the vendors as they don't have a sales tax exemption in Washington for our clients typically, but rather their purchases are exempt based on the statute that exempts them. Everything else they would be paying sales tax on. So as we move forward with, if these changes are moving forward, how would vendors be able to identify those taxes, those products that should be taxable in the state of Washington if they're solely relying on a sales tax exemption form? My concern is they won't charge sales tax for those items that don't fall within the statute.
Well, and Atif, please feel free to join in if this is inaccurate, but we have a fairly detailed rule that describes what items are exempt from sales tax, which of course the vendors can and are encouraged to consult with, you know, our guidance as far as what is sales tax exempt. And they, you know, it's one of those general things that taxpayers are generally obligated to learn and understand what the law in the state is. So we try to provide a lot of guidance to help taxpayers to understand. But ultimately, the obligation to conform to the tax laws of Washington State is upon taxpayers.
Okay, I'm sorry, I should have been more prepared. I thought there would be more comments where I could learn more about the changes.
That's fine. No problem.
I'm just reviewing some notes I have. So as they move forward, every time they make a purchase, that is tax exempt. So if they're working with a vendor that has some taxable items, some exempt items, okay? So let's just say we're working with Boston Scientific, and some of those are implants that are exempted. Some of those are tools that aren't. If I give Boston a sales tax exemption certificate for my client, my fear is they will just not charge tax on anything. And even if Boston has Nexus, so then at that point, then it is up to my client to make sure that they're accruing the use tax that would be due for those purchases. Is that correct?
Well, sure. Between the seller and the buyer, you know, for any taxes for which retail sales tax is owed, it's going to fall upon, you know, typically the retail sales tax will be paid, but if it is not paid, then the use tax obligation typically arises. So I guess in answer to your question is, if the example of the company that you mentioned, if they're obligated to pay sales tax, then that obligation is upon them. And if they do not meet that obligation, then the use tax obligation would fall upon your client, I believe. But to be honest with you, this is all, please take that all with the caveat that we can't really provide tax advice on a specific fact scenario without receiving all of the facts and circumstances and having an opportunity to review it. So that's just my, I'm just trying to be somewhat helpful off the cuff to articulate that the retail sales tax obligation has to be either fulfilled by the payer of retail sales tax or use tax. But again, with respect to the specifics of your clients, we'd need to have all the facts and circumstances in hand and have an opportunity to review those facts and circumstances before we would be able to provide any official opinion on it.
Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Do we have any other comments before we proceed? Okay, hearing none, I will proceed. Before closing this public meeting, I will recap the rulemaking process. This has been the initial public meeting for input regarding the proposed language for Rule 18801, titled Medical Substances, Devices, and Supplies for Humans, Drugs Prescribed for Human Use, Medically Prescribed Oxygen, Prosthetic Devices, Mobility Enhancing Equipment, Durable Medical Equipment. As a result of the comments received during public meetings, additional changes to the preliminary rule draft frequently occur. After any changes are made, the result is the completion of a more or less final draft. This draft is filed with the code reviser and is published in the state register, after which a public rulemaking hearing is held. After the hearing, additional changes may be made and the final draft is filed for adoption with the code reviser. Unlike today's public meeting and the public hearing, the final filing of a rule is not a public process. This filing is just a filing of the notice of adoption. Absent an emergency adoption, or unless otherwise stated, a rule becomes effective 31 days after the filing for adoption. To the extent that rule changes are the result of specific statutory changes, such changes are effective on the effective date of the law change, regardless of when the rule is adopted. Thank you for participating in this public meeting. If you are not on the department's rules notification list, did not receive a notice of today's meeting directly from the department, and you want to be kept informed of future rulemaking activities related to this rule, please provide Atif Aziz with your name, mailing address, and email address. This public meeting is now adjourned. For the record, the time is now 10:14 a.m.